Well, welcome to Blog Talk. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We're actually talking about a funny term today, which is anarchism. Now, when you say the word anarchist or anarchism, immediately people think of chaos. Men wearing black shirts and a big red A on them, tipping over cars. Random violence. Bombs of someone trying to overthrow the country. But that's not really the definition of anarchism, and we had a very interesting show today already with Kevin Craig, who talks about anarchists. I've got a number of articles that I've started. One of them is The Beloved Anarchist, because in truth, if you look at the definition in the Bible, in the dictionary of an anarchist, you'll see in the Bible that Christ was actually an anarchist. You won't get that based on every translation or interpretation of translation, but if you actually look at the Bible in the context of history, in the context of the language in which it was written, you begin to see that there is a certain pattern that actually conforms a great deal to anarchism. Because anarchism is not chaos necessarily. It could be. Communism could be chaos. Democracy could be chaos. A republic certainly could be chaos. So chaos is not necessarily equivalent to anarchism. It is not a synonymous term. That it is actually a byproduct of a certain kind of characteristic or reality that is in the nature of man. In the Beloved Anarchist article, I mentioned the definition of anarchism, which is a political philosophy which considers the state undesirable, unnecessary, and harmful, and instead promotes a stateless society. Now, a stateless society is actually an oxymoron, because we're using the word state to only mean a corporate state. And the fact is, before there was the corporate state, man existed in what they call the state of nature. In other words, man is in a natural state, is the state. He is the state in his natural state. When we were created in the image of God, we were the state. If the state is something that has a right to choose, it has obligations, it has responsibilities, it has duties. Man, when he was created, had all those things in him. He was to dress it and keep it. He was not to eat of this, and he could eat of all these things, but he actually had duties, responsibilities, rights, and rights to choose. Because the state was the state of man. But when man creates another thing, a corporate body, something that is outside of himself, a part of himself, and he vests some of those rights to choose into this creation that he creates by his hand and by his choice and by his words, that thing we call the state. And now the state has a right to choose that used to belong to the man when he was in a state of nature. So you see, anarchism really isn't a political philosophy which considers the state undesirable. It actually is a political philosophy that believes the state of nature is desirable. A state of nature in its purest sense, according to God and nature's God. In other words, man in his divine state of created being under the authority of God alone, with all his rights intact, all his rights to choose, all his responsibilities, everything still intact. He's back in the garden. He is now the state. And there is no other state. And by the definition of anarchism, he is an anarchist. Now, where does this word anarchism or anarchist come from? It comes from a Greek word, arche, which has to do with authority, ruler, leader. And an anarchist would be someone who is not a ruler. Yet man was given dominion. So by his nature, when he was created, he was arche. He was a ruler. He had dominion over the fish of the sea, over the animals that creepeth upon the ground, all the life, the beasts of the fields. He was a ruler. So he was arche from the beginning. But he was not arche over other men. You see, what I'm trying to do here is I'm taking these words and redefining them over and over again, depending on how you are using them, how you mean to use them. That's the thing about language, is that you can say that man is not to be arche, because Christ is clearly saying to his apostles in Mark 10:42, I think it is, that you are not to be arche. You're not to be like the rulers of other governments, of other nations. You are not to be that kind of arche. You are to have dominion over the fish and the wildlife and the land, but not over each other. So, in the true state of nature, every man is the state, but no man is arche over his brother. And that's okay with someone who is following Christ, because he only wants to love his brother, not rule over him. Not to be holding dominion over his brother. So in that sense, all Christians are anarchists. They don't want to rule over you. They don't want to exercise authority one over the other, which is what it says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that we are not to be like that. But of course, we often are like that. When the people of Israel elected Saul as their king, they wanted Saul to be able to rule over the people. Not really themselves. They didn't want to be ruled over themselves. But they thought people weren't doing their fair share. And by having a ruler who could see to this job, he could force those lazy son of a gun to do their fair share, because he could exercise authority. Problem is that authority corrupted him, and he began to exercise more and more authority. They were warned about that. He would end up creating a draft and draft your sons into his army. He would create a military-industrial complex, and he would make his instruments of war. He would emancipate your daughters and your wives so that they became his servants, and they would have to work 10%, 20%, 30%, 40% of their life for him and no longer for the family. And of course, this would break down the family and it would bring disaster. And in the days you cried out to God, God would not hear you because you had already rejected him. You had rejected his corporation, which is the family, and made leaders father over you. Men arche over you. Now, I go on in the beginning of this article to state that to suggest that a stateless society means that there is no government would not be doing the history of man justice. To say that there is no state might simply mean there is no corporate state ruling over the people. But you must rule over yourself. You must take on your responsibility, and we talked about that in the earlier show about what if you saw someone being attacked, could you come there to their aid? You have to come to their aid. The manner in which you come to their aid will define who you are to the rest of the world and will define the nature of your society. If you come in with guns blazing, you will create one kind of society. If you come in to stand between justice and injustice, you will create another kind of society, willing to sacrifice some of your own self, some of your time, some of your energy, so that justice will prevail. Then, of course, that's exactly what Christ said. He called the Pharisees hypocrites because they did not tend to the weightier matters. And when I asked rooms full of pastors and Christians, what did Christ list off as the weightier matters? You would think all Christians would know instantly. Oh, well, yeah, he said this is the weightier matter. But they don't. Traveled all across the country, found one man who could answer that question. And I don't know if he hadn't read it on one of our websites first, but he did know it, wherever he got it. He actually remembered. Other men, I bring it up, I tell them, I show them, and 2 weeks later they can't remember because they didn't learn it in the seminary. They just forget it. You have to teach it to them over and over again, which was part of the conversation this morning with Kevin Craig, that people cannot just hear it one time. So on a recent group where some of our people went and tried to introduce the truth, they were shocked at how venomous the people came back at them, attacking them, not even discussing the issues, just attacking them. That is to be expected, because this is only the first time they've heard this. But other people, it was over 1,000 people on that network, and some of them said, well, that's kind of interesting. And finally, somebody spoke up, who may not be far from the kingdom. I don't know. I don't need to know, because my job is to bear witness. It isn't to prove. I don't prove. Truth is its own proof. I don't need to prove it. Yeah, I've got a lot of proof and footnotes and all that stuff on the website, but if you don't want to believe it, that stuff just will disappear from your mind and from your eyes and from your sight. The fact is, Christ does not want you to rule over your brother, but he wants you to hold dominion. Men don't do that anymore. They don't even rule over their own concupiscence. They want to rule in their house, but they want to rule like dictators, not like Christ. Christ ruled by sacrificing himself, putting others to shame by being a better servant. Now, in the world of religion, are your pastors being better servants? When it actually comes to serving you, they send you to the world to get your benefits, to take care of your ailing mother or father, to take care of your children's education. They send you to the benefactors or the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And by your application for those benefits and that only are provided out of taking away from your neighbor, which is a covetous act, you become merchandise yourself. By Israel wanting to rule over those slothful people of their society with a king who would compel their offerings and compel their compliance, they themselves went into bondage. They thought having a common purse would set them free or take some of the burden off them, when actually it runs towards death, as Proverbs states. So, in the kingdom, if your minister is seeking the kingdom and teaching you how to seek the kingdom, he's a leader, but there are all kinds of leaders. There are leaders who exercise authority one over the other. How do you pick a minister? And we're going to have a conference later on this week, on Wednesday, a conference call that's going to discuss this tens, hundreds, and thousands, what we call the tunes. They call it T-U-N, when you often see it written in Old English. So it's the tunes. And it's not Looney Tunes, it's not iTunes, it's the tens, hundreds, and thousands, where you have a choice to pick who you want to follow, be led by. You don't give him power to tell you where to go, but you say, I see virtue here, I want to follow that lead, because he's out front. I mean, we can't all be out front. Sometimes the path is narrow, so somebody's got to walk down it first. Of course, he's the point man, and point man is usually shot. At least they were in Vietnam. But he's the guy that takes the lead. He's not a ruler. He's not pushing you. You're not tied to him. He's not compelling you. Well, that's one kind of leader. The other kind of leader compels you to march, and usually wants you marching in a straight line, and if you step out of line, he will discipline you. Well, our only discipline is the word. we can say, hey, that's not where we're going. Hey, you're headed towards the quicksand. Hey, you're going to stumble there. But we can't rule. So this is the problem, because people don't want to get along. They want to know, I got the answer, I'm running with it. Young men especially. They need to repent. They need to learn to walk together. It's like a three-legged race, but you don't even tie your legs together. The two legs, you know, in a three-legged race, so you can run down the field, and guys always end up stumbling and falling. I was in a three-legged race with a really big guy when I was a really small guy. He tied my leg to his leg, picked me up, and ran the race with me on his hip. I thought that everybody said that was cheating. I think it was. I didn't know he was going to do it until we started moving. He was a pretty strong guy. He was out of breath when we got there, but that's why he picked me. Everybody wondered why he was picking me. He had a plan. But the point is we need leaders, because there's always going to be somebody out front. But you need to be leading and led to pick the right leaders. You do not want to turn the right to choose to go farther or to turn left or to turn right over to somebody else. You must maintain that responsibility of the state, or he will become the state and you will become the servant. If you pick servants, he don't want that position. And Saul was a servant, but they gave it to him and it corrupted him. So if you go corrupting your pastor by giving him the right to choose for you, oh, we must listen to our pastor. Why? You only listen to him if he is righteous and doing right and saying right. If he has led you back into the bondage of Egypt, he is not a good minister. If he has sat by and watched you and your entire church, whether it's the whole Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church or whatever, return to the bondage of Egypt, and he's never said a word while you did this, while you're praying and applying to benefactors who exercise authority, and he's never said, look out. He has been leading you in the direction of Imperial Rome, not in the direction of the kingdom of God. Because he has the five things that you were to include in your constitution if you were to create any kind of state. Government. You know, when we say government, that is another word. If you are governing yourself, you are the government. If you are governing yourselves according to the ways of Christ, you are the government of God. If you are doing that, you are Israel. Because Israel is where God prevails. If God is prevailing in your heart and in your actions, you are Israel. It doesn't. If you're living by faith in this, which is what is required, living by faith is to believe in that which is not seen. In other words, to believe in divine revelation. Well, that's what Jesus was talking about when he turned to Peter and said, "You are a rock." He wasn't talking about, "Peter, I'm going to make you the Pope." He was saying, what was he saying? Think about it. What was the question? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? He asked three times. And set the scene. And who came up with the answer? Peter? No. Simon Barjona came up with the answer. And when Simon Barjona come up with the answer, Jesus said and answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's what he's saying. He's saying that he is blessed because of that. And then he says, "And I say unto thee that thou art a little rock." Petros. He didn't name him Peter. It's not capitalized. He says, "Thou art a little rock. And upon this rock," what rock? Divine revelation. "I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he says, and I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth. And that's what is the key. That is the key. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you want to rule over your brother, you will be ruled over by your brother. If you want to set your brother free, you will be set free. If you want to do the will of the Father instead of your own will, if you want to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're cut off from the tree of life. This is built into the system. You will become the kingdom of God as you start letting God rule in your life. And what does that look like? It doesn't look like people forming a social democracy, forcing their neighbor to provide for their benefit. It shouldn't look like chaos either. It shouldn't look like every man for himself. It should have 10 fingers, 10 families coming together, picking a minister. It's the way it always was. It's the way it was in most governments throughout the world, in most of man's history, but you wouldn't know that unless you read The Enterprise of Law or one of our books, which says that this modern centralization of power in the state is an aberration in in world history, in the history of mankind. So anyway, we don't have a lot left in this show on anarchism, but anarchism is not really government without the state. It's government without the corporate state. Qualifying word. It is self-government. Now, is it going to be chaos? Or is it going to be viable, giving life, functioning? Well, that's your choice. Are you going to do it according to the nature of Christ, which is the nature of God, which is the nature in which we were originally created? Or are you going to do it in the fallen nature of a selfish, self-absorbed, self-serving individual? Because if you're going to do that, you will have chaos. Guaranteed. So what we've done here is we created a little internet network that reaches all over the world. And you can go and join that internet network and get email. You can go down to a library or a friend's house or whatever and get some email. And when you get on that group, you can say, I would like to make contact with somebody else who's seeking the kingdom of God. And, what is the statement? And the righteousness of God. I want to make contact with that person. And I want to find people like that. And I want to be of service to them because Christ came to serve, not to be served. I don't want to know what they can do for me. I want to know what I can do for them. Now you get two people together like that. Now, as soon as they're together, they have fulfilled a need. They have somebody to be together with. But that's not enough. They want to fulfill, because if that's their true need to serve, their true desire to serve, they're going to want to find somebody else. And somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. So however far apart they are, they're going to be looking for those other people and trying to connect with those other people. They're not going to bombard them with any other complex philosophies or tell them that everything you believed before is gone and none of that is true and you've been completely lied to and all that. We just want to help. We want to help in a real way that makes you stronger as an individual, not weaker. We want to give charity that strengthens the poor. We want to be the fulfillment of a need that you cannot meet yourself. We want to help you when you stumble. We want to support you when the weight is too great. You know, like a spotter lifting weights. You know, he's not going to lift the weights for you. You got to still lift the weights. But if all of a sudden you start losing one arm, he grabs it so that you don't get crushed. Now, all we are doing is giving you an opportunity to make those connections, and that's only purpose of the internet network, to give you a start while it's here. But then you get phone numbers, you go over and meet at houses, you go over and meet at restaurants, you have coffee together. But then you say, how can we be like Christ? How can we serve others that will strengthen them, guide them, lead them to the kingdom of God and His righteousness? How can we do that? That's your mission. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What you do with that knowledge and understanding, that's between you and God. I led you this far. I'll share with you anything else I learn or study or, you know, my mistakes, my discoveries, and I hope you do the same. But it's going to be up to you. So go to hisholychurch.org. Find the little drop-down menu. Join the local network. Open up your mouth and say, and I want to connect with other people seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to help serve other people to find other people. I want to create a viable body, not bound by contract, but bound by the character of Christ, which is love. Is that what you want? Hey, I'd like to help you. And I know there are a lot of people who have already joined the network that would like to help you too. But that's going to be up to you. We're not going to help you feel good about yourself. We're not a religion that boasts your ego. You know, we eventually will get around to the fact that you've believed a lot of lies, you've been deceived, and you've been going the wrong way. But we're not, I don't think we should be hitting you over the head with it. If you come, you know, let's sit down, have a drink of water, have a drink of tea, have a drink of milk. I'm not a big tea drinker. Don't drink coffee. And let's chew the fat and find out what it means to be the beloved anarchist, the guy who's setting you free. Not free to do anything you want, but free to do the will of the Father. And that's where we're at. And that's where I'm going. And if anybody wants to go there too, let's walk along. If you want to call me a leader, fine. I think we got a lot of other leaders who are already there. And they're only leaders because they're walking out there first. They don't want to rule over you. If any of them start trying to, you let me know. And we'll try to put an end to that. So anyway, here's the music. Later on, we'll have a debate on Paul. We'll be on Freedom Rising and lots of other things. See you then. Till then, may peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.